In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12. And in this chapter, there was the story of Mary, offering her love to the Lord Jesus Christ because he gave life to her brother after death. And the command given by Judas Iscariot, because he was not happy with this precious oil, and he considered this, money better to be given to the poor. So the Lord told him, let her away. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. You all know that there was a command given by the rulers of the temple that anyone knew where is Jesus, they have to report to them. So Christ was in Bethany, not very far from the temple in Jerusalem. So people liked to see him, but moreover, they wanted to see Lazarus because they all knew that Lazarus came out of death, and that miracle changed everything for the whole community of Jerusalem and the villages around Jerusalem. So a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. So Lazarus being raised from death, he now is like a witness to Christ. And that's exactly our mission in life. We all, enjoy this riding up of death, of the death, when we were baptized. So having the power of new life, the power of eternal life, we should witness to the Lord all the time. So now we are enjoying our new life. So we should direct all attentions to the Lord. So exactly like Lazarus, who were at that time the best witness to Christ as the Messiah, the life giver, we should work the same, because we all were baptized and we had this new life. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna. I want to remind you that we are now in chapter 12. So from chapter 12 to the end of the Gospel of St. John, 12 to 21st, it's like half of the Gospel of St. John is related to the last week or the week of Pascha. So now we are chapter 12, it's the day of the Palm Day. Then we will move on to the Pascha days, and all the coming chapters from 13 to 17 are related only to the Thursday, the day of the Last Supper, because this day was very important for St. John to mention all the sermons given by the Lord, explaining the role of the Holy Spirit, and making the sacrament of Eucharist. So on this day, the next day of his visit to Lazarus' family, the multitude followed him, because they knew that he will now move to Jerusalem. They wanted to support him, they wanted to see him. They were celebrating the miracle of Lazarus. They all loved him so much, so they wanted to stand beside him against the rulers of the temple. So when they were moving to Jerusalem, they started to cry out saying, Hosanna. The word Hosanna simply means have mercy or save us. Hosanna, kind of hu sha'na, You know, these words in their language means save us. So they believed like he is the savior. He came to save them. Maybe most of these people were saying save us in the meaning of save us from the Romans. But very few of them understood his mission of the spiritual salvation. So they mean save us from corruption, save us from death. Like Lazarus, we believed in you. You can take us of this life. But most of the people understood it in their Jewish way. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, the one who is coming in the name of the Lord is the title of the Messiah. So, as if they all believed in him as the Messiah. For the first time, thousands of people expressed their belief out loud that this is the Messiah we believe in. We will follow him whatever it happens. So the rulers of the temple were very much scared because they cannot, you know, stop this flood of people. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." You know, it was given in the prophecy of Zacharias. You know, he was 500 years before Christ, but as if he saw this day and he expressed this celebration in his words, saying that the king of Israel will come and everyone will, you know, celebrate him, but he will be sitting on donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. You know, in that exact time of this day, the Palm Day, they couldn't relate the prophecy to what's happening. But after his resurrection, you know, the Holy Spirit started to show them that all the details of Christ's life was given in the prophets. And many prophecies were very clear, and they couldn't focus on this. That's why they couldn't see the whole truth in Christ. But after his glorification, now the picture is very clear, and they understood all the details. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. St. John, the writer of the Gospel, is mentioning that many of these people in that day were like coming only just because of the Lazarus miracle. And they always saying the story of Lazarus to each other. And that was like the motive of their happy celebration. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the word has gone after him." It was like another prophecy given by the Pharisees that the word will go after him. Because in that day they could see like thousands of people crying out with his name, glorifying his name, saying that's the Messiah, Hosanna, save us. So they cannot stop them. And they felt like big failure. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. It happened many times that in the Passover, some of the Jews who traveled or immigrated to Greek countries, they used to come again in the Passover to celebrate the rituals of this important day. So these Greek people, you know, part of them shared in that Palm Day. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." You know, most of these people were not of Galilee. Only the disciples and few people were following him from the Galilee, but most of the people were around Jerusalem. Knowing that Some of the disciples were from Galilee. They went to Philip because Galilee parts, you know, villages are, you know, close to each other, and most of the people know each other. So they imagine that Philip is, you know, very close to Christ. He may speak to him. They asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Among the thousands of people, these Greek people wished to see him. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. So he took Andrew with him. They were friends, and they spoke to the Lord himself. These, you know, Greek people love to see you. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." You know, I think the disciples felt very much glorified because the Greek people coming to them, asking them to help them to see the Lord. So they felt the glory of this day. They felt how important they were, just being close to the Lord and his people. So feeling the glory, the Lord himself wanted to focus on the day of crucifixion, on his mission, on the salvation day, because there is no glory just by the prayers of people. The glory is in completing the mission of saving all human beings. So the Lord did not want to focus on seeing these Greek people as if it's not the time for to be praised by the pagans now. It's the time to focus on the hour, on the crucifixion. So the hour has come, the Lord said, that the Son of Man should be glorified. So it's not the glory of being praised by these people, it's the glory of the hour, which is the hour of crucifixion. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, so he's speaking about himself now, he is the grain of wheat, and he came to die, and he should be buried in the ground, and by this, the grain of wheat will give new life, will give the tree of life, will give us, you know, much grain. So in order to gain many people, it's not just to be celebrated by people. In order to gain people, you need to die for them. You need to save them. That's the work of the Lord himself. He came not to be glorified by people, but to die for them, to save them, and then the glory will be given to him forever. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. As if he was busy giving Andrew and Philip another lesson. Don't focus much on the glory given by people. Focus on your mission. Because, you know, if you want to live here in glory, you will lose everything. But, you know, if you hate your life here, if you just focus on the work of God, you will keep your life forever. You will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. So the words were given to Philip and Andrew, maybe the other disciples. You have to follow me. And when you follow the Lord, you will focus on the cross. You will focus on the mission. You will not focus on how many people praising you, how many Greek people are looking up to you. You are focusing on the service. Let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. So the glory of the disciples in this world, not to be important in the eyes of the pagan people, but to be important in heaven, because they followed him, they served him, so they will be with him forever in glory. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. That's a promise of God to all servants. When you serve God, you will be with him forever, and you will have and will share in his glory. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So you will get the honor of God the Father also being a servant of His Son. Now my soul is troubled. That's the words of the Lord. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Now the Lord is speaking in our words, because the hour of the cross was always before His eyes. And seeing how much suffering He is going to have, you know, as any man, He expressed that it's not easy to go through all these sufferings. So He expressed it in our words, because many people may ask, how come the Lord came for this hour and now He's saying, Father, save me from this hour? He is just speaking our words. When you suffer, you want this suffering to stop. But you know, your will have to be the will of God. So the Lord will say it in another way, that this is not, you know, meaning that He rejects God's will, no. But He wanted to express how much suffering He will get. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. So now He moved from speaking to the disciples, speaking now to the Lord, God the Father. But for this purpose I came. So it's as if there is like a self-talk. He's speaking to God the Father, but He said it this way. Yes, please save me from this hour, but I came for this hour. So, you know, it's a nice message for all those who suffer, that we are here to suffer, and we need to suffer in order to fulfill God's plan. And suffering is very much needed to be crucified with God in order to have the glory of heaven. For this hour we are living, but sometimes we may ask God, please help us to endure this suffering. Save us from this hour. Father, glorify Your name. So what's important here is not to get out of suffering or to endure suffering. It's the importance of glorifying God. Father, glorify Your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So while speaking to God, and the disciples were just very close to Him, they were, you know, chatting with Him, He prayed. And while praying, there was a voice coming, and they knew, they listened to this voice. They heard the voice of God the Father. But in this occasion, it happened to be the words given by God the Father, I have both glorified it. So glorification happened all through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was glorified in incarnation. He was glorified in all the works done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the glorification will be completed in resurrection from the death. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him, because the voice was clear. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, because Christ are always in God the Father, and the Father is in the Son. They are one in divine nature. But this expression, this voice coming from heaven, was very important for the disciples. So He said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now in the judgment of this world, if you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you listen to God's voice, if you believe in Christ as the Messiah, the Lord coming to save everyone, if you believe that you should follow Him, and you may hate your life in order to gain it in heaven and to gain many souls, now you will enjoy this glory forever. Glory to God. Amen.